Welcome, everyone, to our brief service of word and prayer this Sunday, March 22nd, 2020. We begin this day in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Bend your ear to our prayers, Lord Christ, and come among us. By your gracious life and death for us, bring light into the darkness of our hearts and anoint us with your Spirit. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Holy Gospel for today is from the Gospel of John, the 9th chapter. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's work might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, Go wash in the pool of Siloma, which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking them, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloma and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But we do not know how it is that now he sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind. And they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciples, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and you are trying to teach us." And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him. The one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who did not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sinned. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." The Gospel of the Lord. Our sermon for today was prepared and will be delivered by Karen Carter.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our healer. Amen.
Amen.
Christian songwriter Michael Card wrote this: "The gentle healer came into our town today. He touched blind eyes and the darkness left to stay. More than blindness, he took their sins away. The gentle healer came into our town today." This gentle healer that Michael Card speaks about is the one I'd like to know more deeply. The 9th chapter of John is a showdown for Jesus. He heals a blind man and encounters the wrath of the powers that be. Let's listen in on this drama involving the disciples, an unnamed man, Jesus, the community, his parents, and the religious authorities of the day. A blind man sees. One who's never seen the light of day, the colors of trees or the colors of flowers or the face of a friend. He is treated by Jesus with mud pies, which when they were washed off in the pool of Siloam, gives eyesight that he never dreamed possible. Even a casual read of this story would have one asking, "What is going on here?" I read this story now with different eyes than I've read it before, and I'd like to share with you what is new in this story for me. When you are ill, you use what you've got. The Pool of Siloam was an open-air basin that was about 20 by 30 feet. It was fed by a conduit in the city, leading to a spring in the Kidron Valley. It was not built for healing, but for defense purposes. Now, to think that a combination of dirt and saliva could set a healing process in motion and end up with a bath in the Pool of Siloam is very strange to us. But when you are ill, you use what you've got. Even knowing that other people, including Africans, Ethiopians, and my grandmother, considered saliva to have very therapeutic effects, it still doesn't explain these methods that Jesus used. But there's a much deeper truth that hits home, at least to me. It is this: we beggars cannot be choosers. You have to use whatever you got at the time in trying to find health. When I was a young mother, after having had a very negative reaction to several kinds of chemotherapy, I finally said to the oncologist, "You know, people 50 years from now are going to look at these treatments for cancer and consider them barbaric." With a smile on his face, he said, "Yeah, I know, but it's the best we've got at the present." When you are ill, you use what you've got. This is what's happening in the story. Jesus is using the resources of that day to make a blind man well. So I think I understand far better, people traveling to Lourdes to drink that spring water, or hoping to be healed, or attending a healing crusade, or seeking that special touch, or taking alternative medicines, praying that those megavitamins might be the answer. Beggars can't be choosers. You use what you've got. When you're ill, you take what you can get. And this is what happened in the story. Jesus touched him, this blind man, and that divine touch was more than enough. There are all kinds of movements in our day, many of them sponsored by New Age proponents. They promote the power of touch. One group encourages parents to touch their children because they say that touch is the most important of all senses. It stimulates all the other senses, stimulates language and communication skills. It promotes bonding and attachment. Gee, hug children are happy children. What a thought. And by the way, for a price, they will come and teach you how to hug your children. And yet, when I retired from education 15 years ago, the edict had already come down from the district office. Under no circumstances are you to touch a child in any way. As I've been looking over several websites, all talking about the power of touch, the gist was basically this. Touch will unlock compassion and heartfelt care, which of course then helps in promoting healing and health. I walked away from this with a question in my mind. Has fear and abuse caused the church to abandon one of the most effective tools of healing? This was, of course, before the coronavirus pandemic. Can we create a community where children can be hugged without being hurt? Youth and adults touched without being hit upon? And the elderly once more feel the comfort of human hands without embarrassment? When you are ill, you go with what you can get, and sometimes a hug or a pat on the shoulder is just the healing touch that we need. Consider this, please, following the coronavirus epidemic is over. While authorities are trying to pick this miracle apart, the blind man who now sees sticks to one single statement. I once was blind, but now I see. Nothing else matters. He knew he'd been helped, and that's what made the difference. It didn't matter to him that the FDA had not approved it. It didn't matter to it that it had been done on the Sabbath day and that Jesus had broken the law. He simply knew one thing. I once was blind, but now I see. Bob Allred tells the story of a country preacher who was listening to a well-known seminary professor who was disproving miracles as humbug. When the professor finished his lecture, the preacher got up and took an apple out of his bag. "Mr. Professor," he said, "I don't know much about the great thinkers you mentioned." Took another big bite of his apple. "Mr. Professor," he said, "I admit I haven't studied the Bible like you have." He finished the apple and dropped it back into the bag. "Mr. Professor, I was just wondering, this apple that I just ate, was it sour or was it sweet?" The response from the indignant professor was, "How could I know? I haven't tasted that apple." The old preacher, with a smile on his face, said, "With all due respect, sir, I was just wondering if you've ever tasted my Jesus." The blind man said, "Whether or not the cure was approved by the FDA, I once was blind, but now I see." "You argue and explain all you want, Mr. Professor, but that was enough for me and for the blind man. Many things can blind us: backgrounds, fear, and judgmentalism, to name a few. Never mind that somebody could see. That was not their issue. Somebody else by the name of Jesus broke the law of the Sabbath. They cannot rejoice with those who rejoice, and they cannot be willing to weep with those who weep. They have an opinion about everything under the sun. They insist that everything must fit, or at least be the way it always has been. My dear friends, Jesus doesn't fit because he heals a man on the Sabbath. Some of these people would call the Pharisees nitpickers. Those of you who are school teachers understand that word completely. Head lice take up their residence on a person's scalp. Each nit or tiny egg must be meticulously combed, picked, or pulled from every strand of hair. Some become obsessed with nitpicking with meticulous care. They can find something wrong with everything. They pick at life's joys, may tarnish life's triumphs, and make critical comments about every victory. That's exactly what the Pharisees were doing. They couldn't rejoice with this man who is now seeing. They were too busy nitpicking the fact that Jesus had broken the law. I think you know what that's like. Wasn't that a beautiful wedding? Yes, but it's a shame the bride didn't lose a few more pounds before. Did you hear that I had a new job? I did. I sure hope you get along better with that boss than I did. He is one piece of work. Have you seen Jane's new baby? Yes. Too bad the little thing looks a lot like his father. Isn't this sanctuary beautiful? Says the other. Too bad we don't have a fantastic organist who will bring people in by the droves for the music. It is such a wonderful thing that a blind man was healed, says the other. Too bad that Jesus did it on the Sabbath. My friends, the gentle healer is with us today. I know he is, for he is the way, the truth, and the life. He wants to touch you at your deepest point of need. He wants to touch me at my deepest point of need. I have a question for all of us. Will you and I trust him with our hurts, our pains, our problems, our sins, and our spiritual emptiness as we come to him on this day? The gentle healer is with us today. I know that he is. I'm going to change Michael Card's words just a little bit. The gentle healer came into our presence today. He touched blind eyes and our darkness left to stay. But more than the blindness, he took our sins away. The gentle healer came into our presence today. Dear friends, from personal experience, I can stand here and say, the gentle healer is here with us today. I know he is. Trust him and be healed by him. Amen.
A prayer for the church. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are living through extraordinary times. We pray for all who are sick in any way. We pray for those who have died from the current pandemic or from any illness. We pray for those who have lost loved ones. We pray for those who have lost jobs and income. We pray for all who live in uncertainty and fear. And we ask that you fill them with hope and peace. Heavenly Father, the devil tests us daily as to whether we will retain our resolve and be people of faith or become something else. At this time, that has never been more true. We ask that you strengthen our resolve, that you keep us firm in faith, and that your works of grace, love, be revealed through us all towards one another in this great time of anxiety and need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll finish our service today with our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you all, now and forever. Amen. Until next week, be safe, be well, and know that your Lord is always with you. Amen.